Gospels, turn with me to Luke 13. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. We're going to begin reading at verse 1. Luke 13:1. Let's pray. Father, I pray for our service today that it would be more than just another Sunday. Lord, anoint me to speak the words that you have called me to speak, and anoint all of us to hear, myself included, this message on a call to repentance. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 13:1, there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will likewise perish." Jesus has an uncanny ability to cause us to look at ourselves. It is normal, it is in the nature of fallen man to see other people's faults, but not our own. I think we're all guilty of that. But God does not want us to be judging our brothers until we judge ourselves. Amen. This is Jesus' statement, not mine. His statement he repeats in this passage twice. He asks a question first. Do you suppose? Anytime God asks a question, he wants us to think about it. And that statement, "do you suppose," is an intellectual statement. Stop and really suppose. Begin to ask yourself, is this other person a bigger sinner than me? And if you're honest with yourself, most of the time the answer is no. For all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And so then, after asking these two questions, after asking you to think about it, then he says in both of these cases, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. The next few weeks, we're going to be focusing on repentance. This is the first in a series of messages, a call to repentance. Why are we focusing on repentance? Well, as it turns out, the solar eclipse is falling on a day that is more than a coincidence. Tomorrow, August 21st, the day of the great solar eclipse, is falling on the first day of the last month of the Jewish calendar, the month of Elul. There are 29 days in Elul, and then the 30th day is the Feast of Trumpets, and 10 days later is the Day of Atonement. And the body of Christ is called to repentance for 40 days, before judgment comes. This is an ongoing theme. John the Baptist began his ministry of repentance on the first of Elul, calling for repentance. When Jonah walked through Nineveh saying in 40 days judgment will come, and it was the first of Elul. So this is more than a coincidence today that tomorrow, the solar eclipse, is the first of Elul, and it is 40 days until the Day of Atonement. The church, I you need to get real with God. It's time to repent. 1 Peter 4:17 tells us, the time is coming that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? God always brings His judgment upon the church first. It would be hypocritical for God to judge the world before He judges the church. We are to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. And to be quite honest, the church has not really done it very well. And when I say the church, I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about the sign on the building. I'm not here to judge you. I'm not here to tell you what you do. I'm simply here to say we need to get real with God. It's a time to repent. Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When Jesus came, John the Baptist's ministry was a ministry of repentance. He told the world they needed to repent. And who was he talking to? He was talking to the people of God. He was talking to the people of Jerusalem. He was talking to the Jews. Now, many of the people received John's message. The religious people did not. And what does that say about religious people? God help us. I don't want to be a religious person. I want to not mask my need to repentance with my own self-righteousness and saying, well, the Lord knows I do this and I do that like the Pharisees. God, it is time for the church to repent. Amen. The ministry of John the Baptist, the ministry of repentance said, bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. What does that mean? It means that if you are genuinely repentant, it will show in your life. Amen? Fruit meet for repentance. It will show. People will say, something's different about that person. What's going on with his life? Oh, you didn't hear? He's fasting. He's praying. He's asking God to forgive him. He's confessing his sins. There's been a change in his life. Because he is bringing forth fruit meet for repentance. Now he's not just talking the talk, he's walking the talk. Amen? And that was the call of John the Baptist. The time of playing church is over. We are at the end of the age. Judgment is coming. It's time to repent. Amen? Well, you might say, well, you know, I'm not like these people out there. I don't really know what you're talking about. I don't need to repent. I go to church. I read my Bible. I pray. I'm a good Christian. I suppose that the religious people in Jesus' day felt they were good too. That's why Jesus had to take it to the next level. In his Sermon on the Mount, he said, you have heard, thou shalt not murder. But I say to you that if you're angry in your heart with someone, you have murdered them in your heart. Or you've heard, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you that if you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. He said, you try to say to your brother, I want to help you get the speck out of your eye when you've got a mote in your own. That should give us a few things to think about and repent over daily. He told us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I fail at that miserably. Church, it's time to repent. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, Jesus speaking, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your candlestick out of its place, except you repent. And then in verse 16 he says, repent or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Now we know that in Revelation 19 Jesus is coming back with the sword of his mouth. So why would he tell the church he's going to fight them with the sword of his mouth? It sounds like he's talking about missing the rapture. Because if we miss the rapture, we're going to be part of those people that he's coming back with the sword of his mouth. Amen? And so he says, remember from where you are fallen, and repent and do the first works. What were your first works? When you first got saved, what did you do then that you don't do now? Did you read your Bible more? Did you pray more? Did you go to more Bible studies and fellowship? Did you have more love? Were you more forgiving? Were you more long-suffering? What were you like when you first got saved? Jesus is saying, if you're not like that today, you have gotten lukewarm, you have started to backslide, and you need to repent and do your first works, or I will come quickly and remove your candlestick out of its place. In Matthew 21, Jesus said, 21:28, a certain man had two sons that came, and he came to the first and said, son, go work in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not go. But afterwards he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said to him, the first. And Jesus said to them, verily I say to you, that the publicans and the harlots will go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in a way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And when you had seen it, they repented afterwards that they might believe. Now, this passage here is about people who give lip service to God but don't follow through. And I think we've all been guilty of that. We've all said, oh, Lord, that message really stirred me last week. I really need to change that in my life. And then 2 days later you say, what did the preacher preach about? You know, it was good, but I don't remember. The Bible compares us to a man that sees his face in a mirror and then goes away and forgets. That we were in church and we're stirred to do these things or to change these things, and then we don't, and we're like the man that said, I'll go, but didn't go. But the son that said he would go wouldn't go. It said he repented and went. And it takes repentance to bring change. Change doesn't happen because you want to change. Change happens because you repent. That's what repent means. It means turn around and go the other way. Do the other thing. Amen. In Luke 3:8, I read this earlier, but this is another passage. Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Now he was talking to the Pharisees who were trusting in their religious heritage. But you know what? Christians sometimes trust in their religious heritage. Sometimes people have been raised in church or maybe been in church for a while. And it's just the routine. You're going through the routine. Somewhere along the lines, Jesus is waiting for you over here, over there, and you've lost connection because you're just going through the religious acts. And again, fruit is the thing that comes from the relationship, amen, not from the religion. Luke 10:12, Jesus speaking, but I say to you, it'll be more tolerable for those in that day for Sodom than for this city. Woe to thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethesda. For if the mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it should be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And for you, Capernaum, which are exalted above heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. Jesus here is talking about people who have missed who Jesus was. Jesus was there, and he says it's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than those people because they had Jesus right in front of them and missed it. Can we do that too? Sure we can. Can we go to church and miss it? Can we read our Bibles and miss it? Can we pray and miss it? It's all about the heart. It's about the heart. Where is my heart? Because Jesus is supposed to be in the heart. Amen. And I don't want to miss Jesus, do you? Jesus talked about the rich man and Lazarus. How the rich man didn't have time to help his fellow man. And Lazarus sat there begging, scraping himself with pottery, dogs licking his pussy sores. And yet, what about us? I know I've been guilty of looking past the homeless and the sick. And one day, they both died. The rich man went to hell. And so he said to Abraham, bring me back from the dead so I can warn them. And the Bible says that Abraham said that if one went to them from the dead, they wouldn't repent. They had Moses and the prophets, and they wouldn't be persuaded even if one rose from the dead. And you might say, well, yeah, I know what you mean. I've tried to tell my family, no, we're not there. We're not talking about my family not repenting. We're talking about me. Amen. Judgment must begin in the house of the Lord. Luke 11:29. When the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation that seeks a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so also shall the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. You know, when I first got saved, I went to every church service. I went to Bible studies. I went to all these things because I was hungry for more of Jesus. Amen. And somewhere along the lines, we might get lukewarm. We might begin to become apathy. We don't go to every service. We don't go to every function. And here he's condemning the people, saying, you know, the people that were hungry would condemn this generation because they went to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and you guys are so apathetic that you're not even interested. And I'm not trying to, I'm not one for beating the sheep. I am preaching what the Word says today. Don't take it personal. It's just, it's time to repent. It's time to get real with God. So the Lord said in Isaiah 29:13, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouths, and with their lips they do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. We need a healthy fear of God again, not by the precepts of man. We need to be fearful of God, not because of some preacher or some sermon, but God does a work in our heart where that our heart is fearful. And we say, oh God, have mercy upon me. You know, there is the story that Jesus told of the Pharisee standing on the street corner and the other man who wouldn't even look up to heaven. And the Pharisee is saying, I thank you, Lord, that I give this much money and I do this and I do that. And the other guy is just beating his chest and saying, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that's the guy God noticed. That's the guy that went home justified. That's the guy that made a connection with God. Because he doesn't look at what he's done or who he is. He looks at his sin and knows that he can't make it. He doesn't have what it takes to make it. And by beating his chest and asking for mercy, that's the only way we're going to make it. Amen? Is by the mercies of God. Because we all fall short. Help us to be like that man. Help us not to draw near with our mouth and our lips and have our heart far from God. You know, commercial. I'm not here to criticize anyone who doesn't come to the prayer meeting, but the world, you can't get the world in church. But if a nuclear bomb blows up, they will come to church. Now, for the Christians, it should not take a nuclear bomb to bring us to prayer meeting. I'm stepping on toes. Maybe you might say, well, I'm just not one for praying in public. You know what? Every one of us need to be like this guy that kneeled and beat his chest And I cry at prayer meetings, and I wish we had more prayer meetings, not less. And we, yeah, you can pray at home. You will, I pray at home. Okay, great. Well, you have a time you pray. Great. Are you doing it? Are you kneeling down at least once a week and spending at least a half an hour beating your chest over your sin like this guy? And if you're honest and you say no, then shame on you for not coming and doing it on Tuesday night. End of commercial. Revelation 3:3. Remember therefore how you have received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore you shall not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come on you. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. It's not just me that's saying 40 days of repentance. It's Bible scholars all over the internet. It's Mark Biltz, the one who discovered the blood moons and brought them out and has brought out this teaching on the fact that the solar eclipse is on the first of Elul, which coincides with the day Jesus went into the wilderness 40 days to fast and pray. And it seems like if it's good enough for Jesus, it ought to be good enough for us. It is time for the church to pray and confess our sins and repent. Now, I said, quoted, judgment must begin in the house of God, and if it begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not? The question is, how can God judge the church separate from the world? You know, we read in Joshua how when he was throwing hailstones, it only hit the enemies. It didn't hit Joshua and his men. So God can do that. Well, how would he do that in these last days? How would judgment begin in the house of God and not with the world? Real simple. We miss the rapture. The minute the rapture happens, if I'm still here, I have been judged. When the world hasn't, because I have not been counted worthy to escape. And Jesus said, pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things coming upon the earth. So in one moment's time, you and I could be judged as members of the church of Jesus Christ when the world wouldn't even know. And that would be that we miss the rapture. And that's some serious stuff. So how do I repent? I don't know how to repent. What is repentance? Repentance is not just saying I'm sorry and then doing it again. We have to pray that the Holy Spirit does a work in our hearts so that the thing that we like to do, we don't like to do anymore. The thing that we say we're sorry for and keep doing, we grow a detestable hatred for it, whatever it is. And until we do, we haven't repented. So it is a work of the Holy Spirit that requires much prayer. I can't even repent effectively without the help of the Lord. I need the Lord's help to repent. I need Him to change my heart. We're going to talk about that next week when we look at David's prayer of repentance over Bathsheba. But I want to leave you with one verse, and then we're going to have some altar time. It would be kind of hypocritical not to talk about this and not give people some time to spend on their knees. Hosea 14, Hosea was called to preach repentance to backslidden Israel. And in Hosea 14, he said, O Israel, return unto the Lord your God, for you have fallen by your iniquity. And then he tells them how to return to God. He says, take with you words. You see, a lot of people miss the joy of confessing your sins. Say, I don't understand, Brother Roger, what joy is there in confessing my sins? When I am serious about them, then I articulate exactly how I feel, what's in my heart. Lord, I said I'd never do this, and I did it again. And you don't have any right forgiving me because I'm a hypocrite. And what am I doing? I'm I'm verbalizing the truth about me. I'm taking words. And he says to Israel, take with you words. Don't just say a functorial, God forgive me and I'm done. Tell him why you want to be forgiven. Tell him what you see in yourself. Tell him how disgusted you are with your hypocrisy. And take with you words. And turn to the Lord and say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. And so we will render the calves of our lips. God is not interested in our sacrifice. He wasn't interested in Israel's sacrifice of calves. He's not interested in our sacrifice of financial giving or works. He is interested in the calves of our lips. He's interested in what we want to say about ourselves. How can God forgive me of things that I've done if I don't even know what they are and can't verbalize them? Amen? He said, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins. And so the advice of Hosea, the backslidden Israel, is take with you words. Come on up, Nola. Take with you words. Take with you words. Begin to articulate in your own words why you want God to change your heart, why you want God to forgive you, what work you want God to do in your life, how you want to change, how disgusted you are with your attitude or your lust or your greed or your pride or your anger or whatever it may be. And just take words. Take words. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today, and I pray, Lord, that my words would not have injured anyone, but that your words would have pricked someone's heart, all of our hearts. If judgment is coming to America in 40 days or less, it's time to seek the Lord. And it's not time to play church. It's really time to get real. And Lord, we ask you to forgive us. Forgive us for attitudes. Forgive us for wrongdoings. Forgive us for anger and unforgiveness, lust, greed, pride, arrogance. Forgive us for apathy, laziness. Change our hearts, Lord. Change our hearts. I'm going to ask Nola to play. The altars are going to be open. We'll stay here as long as you want to pray. There's no time limit. I'm not telling you you have to pray long. Don't worry about, do I look spiritual if I pray long? Be yourself. Just be honest with God. Amen. Let's pray. There is nothing.
With you, I take pleasure in worshiping you, Lord. There is nothing, there is no with you. I take pleasure in worshiping you, King of kings, Lord of lords, you are worthy. Worthy. You are worthy.
Let's all stand and worship Jesus with this song, shall we?
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name.
Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain.
Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim.
Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that.
That you gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow, every tongue confess that he's Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to pray, take our needs to you, confess our sins. And thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness this morning. I know that you have forgiven everything that was confessed, and that you love your people. We're hungry, Lord, for a move of your Holy Spirit in this place. Help us to continue to press in and seek your face, Lord, that we may know you, the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering, and be made conformable to your death. We know, Lord, that no good thing will you withhold to those that walk uprightly, that you're for us and not against us, that you have a plan for our lives. Help us, Lord, to please you in all ways as we prepare our hearts, our minds, and our lives to spend the rest of our life with you very soon. We know you're coming. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming today. Give someone a big hug before you go.